Hey, let's give it up for John Lambert and the Crosspoint Band this morning. My word, yes. Hey, you know, we all want to feel that, right? That adrenaline coursing through our veins. I mean, that's a great song that many of us are probably connecting with at a different level. We hear it on the radio. But when we begin to get a passion, an obsession in our hearts, man, we get to this place where we say, man, I just want to do whatever it takes to continue to help other people experience some of the things I've experienced. And so, man, we're excited you're here this morning. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. Right, it's Thanksgiving weekend, like this week. Yeah, my word, it's awesome this time of year. My name's Kurt. If we haven't had a chance to meet, it's great to have you here at Crosspoint, especially if it's your first time with us. For the last 6 weeks, we've been doing this deep dive on this idea of what are we obsessed with. And many times we think of obsession as being negative, which it can be, but God also hardwired us to go all in on certain things, almost to the point of obsession or at a point of obsession where we realize, as some of us have discovered, that we were hardwired to be about these things and to create impact in our world. And so we're going to be celebrating that today. And some of us over these past few weeks have just been concluding that we want to be all in on God. We're obsessed with God. And so we're going to celebrate just all that God's been doing over these last 6 weeks and really just look back with you know, hearts of gratitude and kind of say, oh gosh, God, let's celebrate what you've been doing and what you're going to continue to do. And hopefully you're going to be encouraged by this. Hopefully through some of the stories you're going to hear, you'll have a chance to just see what God has been up to. And some of us are going to get into the baptism tub today. How about that? Anybody excited about seeing baptisms? Yes. So, if you're newer today, I tell you what, this might be a little overwhelming because you've walked in on the last week of something we've been tracking on, and we're super excited you're here, and you're going to get a glimpse into the heart and even see some of the stories of what's been going on. And my hope is that you grow today, that you see a different side of God than maybe you've ever seen before. So, let me pray for us before we go any further on this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to be here today. And God, in the front of this Thanksgiving week, we just begin to reflect about how much we have, how full our lives are, even when things aren't exactly going the way we want them to all the time, we begin to realize, God, you're a good, good God. You are a good, good Father, and we just thank you for that. And so, God, I just pray as a result of our time here today that those of us who maybe don't see you or have never thought of you as a good, good Father, that maybe we'd get a different glimpse of you today, and we'd even see evidence of you in some way, shape, or form in our lives. And so, God, you constantly give us opportunities to grow, to stretch ourselves, to spiritually grow us, and you encourage us. And so I just pray that all those things happen today as a result of our time here. And, God, I just pray that you'd be honored by everything that happens. We pray these things according to your name and your spirit, Jesus. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, last weekend, week 6 of the journey, man, there was something special that took place right here. Was there not? I mean, just, you know, we had some powerful, powerful moments. Hundreds of us consecrated ourselves. And consecrated, it's kind of a big word. It's kind of a churchy word. I actually have a lot of baggage with that word consecrated from my younger days. But to consecrate is simply to set something apart or put something aside for the purposes of God. And that's what many of us did last weekend. We said, hey, there's something God's stirring in me, and I'm going to have to set myself apart for this. In fact, we looked at Joshua, who's an Old Testament hero, and how he stepped into leadership in a very tumultuous time when the leader of the nation of Israel, Moses, had just died right before he led the Israelites to this place that God had promised them. And so Joshua steps in. He has to rally the troops, and the first thing he says is, consecrate yourselves. He says, consecrate yourselves, set yourselves apart, set yourselves apart. God's going to do something significant. When you do this, tomorrow, you're going to see the wonders of God among you. He says, but you got to consecrate yourself. And I tell you what, we still believe that when we set ourselves apart, we begin to see the hand of God among us. When we begin to track on a different trajectory, when we begin to operate on a different plane, we begin to say, okay, God, I want my heart to be beating after the things your heart is beating after. I want to be about the things your heart breaks for in the world. I tell you what, get ready. Joshua says, get ready. You're going to begin to see the hand of God working in and through your lives. And I've been overwhelmed over these last 3 weeks or so as many of you have, you know, told me what your obsession is or what what God's stirring in you, and just many cool and encouraging stories. We have people who have started new things, new initiatives that are starting in the community, community initiatives, nonprofits, things that specifically are going to bring value and life to people that currently that's not happening for them. We've had individuals and couples who have said, hey, we want to begin to foster children or adopt a child because we just have a burden for the orphans in our world, and we just feel like that it's our role to step in and be a part of the solution on that. We have marriages that are being restored. And we have couples that are saying, hey, we're going to reconsecrate ourselves. We're going to set ourselves apart again for one another. I mean, this has been very, very cool to hear. Among our staff here at Crosspoint, a number of us consecrated ourselves a week and a half ago at a conference where we just felt a call to say, hey, we want to continue to not just bring what we bring to the table as leaders, but we want to create platforms to develop people, to help other people be heroes, so that we can develop people so the kingdom can move forward through people, ordinary people just like us, that don't see that they have skill sets to move the kingdom forward. We have people starting new ministries that just have a burden for a certain population or segment of people. I mean, it's just very, very cool. In fact, one of my friends, she said, you know, I just have an obsession with Jesus. It's been something I've been pursuing my whole life, and I just want more and more of Jesus in my life. And if we're really honest, like, that's probably what many of us are looking for. I mean, this idea of how do we have more and more of the Spirit of God working in and through our lives. And we see things like the fruit of the Spirit, you know, joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. And we say, well, we definitely want more of that. But those are all fruit. Those are called the fruit of the Spirit because those are fruit of a result of more and more of God's Spirit coursing through and in our lives. And so I hope you've been encouraged over these last few weeks of just kind of what's been going on in your life and in people around you. And this morning, we're going to hear some personal stories of some individuals who just have had some cool things happening in their lives. And as we hear these, we're going to celebrate these. And hopefully this is an encouragement to you. God is writing a unique story. And every single one of us. God's writing a story in your life of how he's going to use your life to bring value and impact to the world for him. So one of the stories I want you to hear this morning is one of my good friends who I've been kind of tracking along on over these last few weeks. And so help me welcome Scott Fussell to the platform this morning. Come on over here, Scott. And Scott, your story, man, it began really before the obsession journey, but this really clarified some things for you.
Oh, absolutely.
How did this thing begin?
Well, I knew early on that this journey was going to have something kind of special in store for me. One of your jumping off scriptures from Matthew 6 was something I had a personal connect with. And then I don't usually do life together groups. I usually don't do small groups. But I took that leap this time, mm-hmm. and I jumped in with a small group. And our first week we were together, I'm like, oh, I'm surrounded by a bunch of all-stars. Mm-hmm. And that was a game changer for me. Mm-hmm. So that's some clarity started to present itself. And so I was really wrestling with a couple different things and decided in those first couple of weeks that, I really needed to do something in regards to creating awareness and programming and raise some money around mental health mm-hmm. Issues we have in our community here. Mm-hmm. As you know, with the work you've done with the mayor mm-hmm. and some of the task force you've been on, mm-hmm. we've got a crisis here in our community. I mean, yeah. we've got, don't be fooled by the picket fences and the soccer games and the social media posts. We've got mm-hmm. some problems mm-hmm. here in Fishers, mm-hmm. and we've got people who are struggling in silence, and I decided I wanted to do something about that. Mm-hmm. So, two Sundays ago, launched the C. Scott Run campaign for mental health awareness, and they will put anybody on the cover of a magazine here locally. So it's that's hilarious. But it's so we launched that campaign two Sundays ago, and really what we're going after in conjunction with my training for the Carmel Marathon, my goal and our goal is really to raise $25,000, $25,000. I want to be very clear on that. In support of mental health programming and awareness. We're doing all of that through the Peyton Rieckhoff Foundation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And because we've got a crisis here. Yeah. I see it in my own home. My daughter struggles mightily with depression, anxiety. And mm-hmm. We see it on our campuses, and we see it in our schools, and we see it in our community. So mm-hmm. there's work to be done here. Yeah. And we got to go after it.
Yeah. And you didn't start at 25,000. Your first goal was 11,000.
Yeah.
So when we first talked, he's like, okay, 11,000, a lot of money, but that changed.
Yeah. And God got involved on the 11, by the way. And then I'm sitting at home the Saturday night before we launched the CrowdRise campaign, which, shameless plug, you'll see the link here. I'm sitting at home on Saturday night and doing some final edits before I hit submit on this campaign. And I'm like, man, $11,000 just doesn't scare me.
Yeah.
I've got some really generous people in my life, and I just think God has something much bigger planned here. And so I decided, well, you know, let's go big. Let's go for $25,000. We can maybe move the needle. I can't move the needle. We can't move the needle with $11,000, but $25,000, we might be able to do something special. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking about Global Leadership Summit that we went to back in, was that August?
August 2018.
Yeah, there was a speaker from the Mosaic Church in L.A., and he shared that, his name's Erwin McManus, and he shared that your freedom is on the other side of your fear. And that spoke to me in a major kind of way, but really the speaker that jumped off at me that day was T.D. Jakes, and he shared that, you know, we should be dreaming dreams so big and setting goals so high that it scares us a little bit to tell people about them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I knew when my, you know, we'd had dinner with my sister-in-law and father-in-law the next day, and my wife leans to me and she goes, did I hear what you said earlier? Did I hear that number right? And I said, yeah. And she goes, she looked at me kind of sideways. And I knew when she got scared, I was like, oh, that was, okay, we're heading in the right direction. So yeah, it's funny how when fear can be a heck of a motivator, but when you lean into God and you lean into love, I think some doors start to open themselves. And when I set a goal that was much higher than I originally planned, just some pretty amazing things started to happen. I mean, doors started to open that I didn't plan it on.
So how do you see this tying into the kingdom? I know there's all kinds of connects, but
sure.
I mean, how do you begin to align that?
Yeah, well, I believe God is all in on things where you enlist others to help others. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. I had a friend on Friday, a coworker called me, and a fraternity brother of mine. We've known each other for 25 years. And he's like, how's the campaign going? And I was like, oh, man, we're doing great. And here's what we're doing now. And here's what's happening this week. And he's like, who is this we we're talking about? And I'm like, he's like, this is you, right? And I was like, well, my face is on the campaign. It's called C. Scott Run. But I learned really quickly that this was not about me. This was about we. This was about community. And I've got people coming in from out of the woodwork saying, how do I help you? What can I do? And when I knew really quickly that there were things happening way outside of me, that's when I knew that God was involved. And this is kingdom stuff, not just Scott trying to work on a passion project.
Yeah. And you know, to run a marathon, and then on top of that to raise funds, you got to consecrate. You got to consecrate yourself, set yourself aside. But Joshua says, man, you're going to see wonders. And just from some of your stories, you're seeing God's hand all over this thing.
It's nuts. And, you know, I'm not a really smart man, so I tend to write things down. And every time something major comes up, I write it in the notes section of my phone. And this all didn't start just the last 2 weeks. This whole journey started when I came to you 4 months after I started coming to CrossPoint and said, you know what, hey, do we have a running club here? Could I start one? And you're like, I don't know you, but sure. And so we started to run XPT, and which eventually kind of evolved into what we know now as Fisher's Running Club. And so this journey's been going on for 4 years now, but just in the last 2 weeks, just amazing things, wondrous things have been happening where friends that I haven't spoken to in a while are saying, how can I help? I'm getting an encouraging text at just the right time. I'm hearing the right song at just the right time. Mm-hmm. I was speaking at an event on Tuesday night, and the guy that spoke after me said, you know, he's from the Indiana Sports Corporation. He's like, and he's talking about everything we're doing in the city and talking about sports. And he goes, oh, by the way, I think marathoning is a great sport. I think raising money for mental health awareness is a great sport. So, hey, I'm going to make a donation. If I can make X amount of dollars, if I can make that kind of contribution, I know everybody in the room can. Mm. And so here's a guy I didn't even know a half hour before, and he's jumping off and doing that kind of thing. You know, just it's just been crazy how people said, you got to go. Yeah. You got to go and do it. And, you know, just last weekend, I'm sitting in between services, and I'm having coffee with Brian and Layla Austin, and they're like, we want to help you. Well, man, what do you have in mind? And we're like, I think that we've got this idea for a silent auction. I think that might be something that's effective. And Brian, hey, we want to do a matching gift campaign on Giving Tuesday. How can we do that? Mm-hmm. So I'm having people jump off and do stuff like that that I never would have expected. And you mentioned consecrating yourself last week. I mean, I'm sitting in the back, and we had sat out in the lobby, and Layla had already prayed on this and prayed with me and for me as we're going after this thing. And I see one of my friends. I'm like, okay, I'm good. You know, I've God's with me on this. I've already had my prayer moment. And then I see a good friend of mine come up here, and she's watching her get out of her seat and come up front and get consecrated on her her goal, her obsession, reminded me that, you know what, you need a lot of help here, and you should step out too. Mm. And so it's all kinds of really wondrous, amazing things that are happening that are telling me that God's got his hands all over this. And so it's been an amazing journey in awesome. Only 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to find out more, if you want to follow along, here's all the handles to see Scott run. And none of this is going to Scott. This is all going to the Peyton Rakoff Foundation
to combat
mental health issues and awareness in our community. So, yeah. Scott, thank you. Thank you for running after
it. I want to share one more thing.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to know more, you can follow along on our social, but if you want to know more, please find me after service. If you want to contribute, I definitely want to talk to you, but most importantly, if you are struggling, I have to talk to you. This is what we do in places like this. We find each other, we support each other, we love on each other, we care for each other. I want to beg you not to leave this place today if you are struggling without finding somebody and saying, I need help.
Yeah.
I need help. So that's my wish for you today. That's my plea for you today. You have people who want to support you, and I'm begging you to be brave enough to say to me or to Kurt or somebody from the prayer team, step out and make that step. I know it's a hard one, but I'm begging you to make that call today.
Yeah.
So
thank you, Scott.
You.
Hey,
appreciate
awesome.
It.
Let's thank Scott. Tell you what, the kingdom moves forward when we begin to align our lives in with things that God's heart beats after. And I think God's heart beats more and more after things where people feel like they are alone, where they feel like they're at the end of their rope, where they don't see any way out of where they are. And so when things like this happen, I tell you what, the kingdom moves forward. And we begin to see God's wondrous works all around us. There's another email that came in through the Share Your Obsession email, as we got a few in off that, and it's kind of long, but I think we'll benefit from it. Here's Jen's story. She says, my obsession has been growing for a few months now. I feel like this journey kind of wrapped it up in a nice, clean bow for me. Over the summer, my family and I went with a group from Grace Church, Grace right next door, because we're all on the same team, doing the same work in the community, on a mission trip to serve the homeless in New York City. During the course of our trip, I felt God tugging at my heart in the form of compassion that I've never felt before. I learned a lot about homelessness and those who are living in extreme poverty, and felt a strong desire to continue serving in a similar capacity when I returned home. When we first got home, I told people I'd move my family to the East Coast and volunteer permanently in a heartbeat. But my husband Brian and the kids did not feel the same nudge I was feeling, so even though I was only half joking when I said it, it was clearly out of the question. So that's what happens when you get obsessed about things. You might just do crazy things like move. I had heard about a local ministry called Circle City Relief, CCR, before we went on our trip. My husband and I had taken the kids down to serve there once before we went to New York City. I didn't think much of it, but when we got back, I started browsing through their website and found that CCR was looking for a treasurer to sit on their board of directors. I hemmed and I hawed about it for a while. I work as a CPA. I was already the treasurer of one local PTO board. I was leading the Sunday morning greeter team here at Crosspoint. I don't feel like I have a lot of room for anything extra in my life right now, at least not that I could really put a lot of effort into. I kept feeling led to inquire, so I finally emailed the CCR founder about the position, and he replied almost immediately and told me he wanted to meet and that I was an answer to prayer. Me? An answer to prayer? I was like, all right, God, I get it. So I met with the CCR founder, Matt and Sandy Gay. Within a week or so, I was immediately on board. It was clear to me that I would need to free up some time and room in order to do this, so I decided I needed to step down from some of my other responsibilities, one of which was leading the greeter team here at Crosspoint. The interesting thing is that I had been feeling the need to step down for a few months, but I kind of chalked it up to being tired and overwhelmed, and I just wanted to sit on it and pray about it. About that time, I felt a nudge to reach out to CCR. I came to the realization that I had been hesitant to step down from the greeting team because I liked being on the Crosspoint leadership team, and I like knowing what was going on, as you know when you're on the leadership team. She says, this is an obvious tie to this series and my C of comparison. We looked at, you know, control, comparison, and what was the other one? Comfort, yes, comfort. I mean, you guys are paying attention. It was clear to me I needed to step down. That was the beginning of my obsession, but not where it ended. The best part isn't being the CCR treasurer or going to the board meetings. It's serving the friends of CCR every Sunday in the parking lot of IPS School 60. I'm sitting down and talking to them. I'm hearing their struggles, being able to offer some help, even if it's just a half-day bus pass. I'm letting them know that they're not alone and they have a Heavenly Father who loves them, and I genuinely do too. To be clear, this is not something that was in my wheelhouse, and this summer was the first time I'd ever worked with the homeless. I've never really been around hardcore drugs. I can't tell the difference between somebody who's high and somebody who has mental health issues. I don't generally know when someone is lying to me or just weaving a tall tale. I walk through life wearing the proverbial rose-colored glasses. But none of that matters. I'm there to love them, not judge them. And I'm there to offer encouragement and support and to show them Jesus. And I'm good at that. God has given me a soft heart so I can love others. I almost feel guilty how rewarding the work is, and it builds me up so much. I am walking on clouds every single time I leave the parking lot, and I can't wait to go back. That's how you know we've tapped into obsession right there, when you just want to go back and back. I know this is all God. He's using us, and we're doing it because of him, but it feels good to be obedient and help others in the process. I know this is super long. Sorry about that. Funny thing is, I can make it much longer. I just feel like God has orchestrated so many things to get me to this point, and I wanted to share because I really have seen God moving in my life as a result. My obsessions are intertwined and have worked together to get me where I am. Number one, strengthening my relationship with God through prayer and quiet time. Two, volunteering with CCR. And three, investing in my family. Those are my obsessions. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Let's thank Jen for sharing that. My word. I mean, there are stories happening in every one of our lives as we're getting clear on this. And this is what Josh was talking about. He's saying, when we set ourselves aside to these things, you begin to see the hand of God in your life in ways that you've never experienced before. So where do we go from here? As we kind of bring the journey to a close, and yet our obsessions are just beginning, a couple ideas. Number one, we stay after it. We stay after, we keep the pedal down. You know, when we chase the things, God's heart beats after, man, we gotta do whatever it takes. In fact, here's how Luke put it, one of the gospel writers, Luke, in the book of Acts. He says, but my life is worth nothing to me. Now those are pretty strong words. Now, this is the Dr. Luke. He says, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news of the wonderful grace of God. So three quick hitters out of what Luke says right here that I think we can all run with. Number one, we have to remember that God assigned us a role to play. He gave you a role. I mean, if you've ever wondered if your life mattered, or if you ever wondered why in the world am I here on this planet, I want you to know, I mean, Luke says you're here for a reason. God assigned you a role. And you might be thinking, Kurt, you know, I was born in my family, and I was kind of always labeled the mistake. I mean, there was like my siblings, and then 8 years later came me. And so my parents even were like, yeah, you were kind of an afterthought. Listen, you may have been an afterthought for your parents, but guess what? You were never an afterthought for God. I mean, God planned you. He intricately, you know, wove you together in your mother's womb. And in the midst of that, he assigned you a purpose and a role to make a difference in the world. God assigned you a role. Second thing we see from Luke here is that purpose, our sense of, oh, I'm here for something, comes through participating in kingdom movements. And this has happened at two levels for us here at The Journey. For many of us, we've kind of found that personal obsession. What did God uniquely put me here for? And we've been consecrating ourselves toward that. It's happened on a second level. It happens when we're in the course of team, when we're part of something bigger than ourselves. In fact, we had a really cool moment last weekend, something we've never done before. We had the opportunity for people who are partners around here to declare, hey, I'm a part of this team, and you got a jersey as a part of it. You got a t-shirt. You've been seeing some of them up with people on platform this morning. It says, I'm all in. Crosspoint, I'm in. And we have partners around here. We've had people that are partners. That's kind of the equivalent of our membership. We don't call it membership because it's more of a partnership. It's more of a, I've chosen to not just be a recipient of what happens here, but I want to be on the other end of providing the same experience for others through my time and through my treasure. And so being a partner is when I give of my time, I serve on a team, I belong to a team or lead a group or participate in one of our teams on a regular rotation, and then I also financially fuel with a tithe what God is doing around here. And so we gave you the chance to declare that and receive a jersey, receive a t-shirt as a declaration of that, or to say, hey, I want to become a partner. I want to do more than just receive. I want to join a team. I want to begin tithing, whether it's at 10% or 4% and working toward 10, whatever it is. And if that's you, man, join the team and get a t-shirt because you're a part of it. And I know many of you were not able to participate in that last weekend because maybe you weren't here. You're going to have another chance today. There's tables in the back corners. When you leave, you can mark on your card. It's a self-declared thing. I'm a partner. I want to become a partner. And if you currently aren't on a team, just go and grab a card off the tables in the back. There's even a joy box, like on the tables. They're green in color, and you can put your cards in there. You can fill out a serve card if you don't currently serve. You can join the team. Grab a t-shirt. When we're part of something bigger, we make a difference. We're part of the kingdom movement in the world. And then the third thing Luke says here, he says, hey, all of us, we're invited to share the good news of the wonderful grace of God. In just 5 weekends, believe it or not, 5 weekends is Christmas. Now, some of you are like, oh my gosh, 5 weekends. I'm not trying to freak you out. I'm just saying, in 5 weekends, Christmas Eve services start here. We're going to have 5 opportunities here at Cross Point for Christmas Eve services. It starts on December 20th, Thursday evening, our normal Thursday evening service. It's called Christmas Eve Before You Leave. If you're going to be out of town for Christmas, you know, come early, 5 days early. And it's same service that we'll do the 23rd and 24th at 5 and 6:30 on Sunday and Monday evenings. No morning services that weekend. And tell you what, there's all kinds of volunteer opportunities, chances for you to jump on a team to serve people as a part of what you bring at Christmas time. So you can join, jump into that in the CrossPoint app or mark that on your connection card. But I tell you what, don't underestimate the power of an invite. There's a powerful thing that when you receive it or give an invite to someone, Christmas and Easter, 2 times a year, that most people are willing to go to church. And there may be a friend, a family member, somebody that you work with, and you can do what Paul does. You can just help people come back to God. And I was in a baptism team, baptism info meeting last week, and there was a couple talking about the invite they received. It was about a year ago at Easter. It was actually in the form of a postcard that we send out periodically, and they said, hey, we got invited to Cross Point for Easter. We thought, oh, we'll try it out. They said, our lives have been different ever since. In fact, you're going to hear a part of their story here in just a moment. Don't underestimate the power of an invite. I mean, some of your friends, some of your family, this may be the best Christmas ever because we just say, hey, I want to share the wondrous good news of Christ, and I'll tell about what God's done in my life, but I want to invite my friends and family to come and experience something. Luke says, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for finishing the work assigned for me. Think about this. This is Luke who's a doctor. This is Luke who, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, one of the authorized biographers of Jesus' life. He also wrote the book of Acts. I mean, he's a doctor. He's detailed in his record. He even said at the beginning of the book of Luke, hey, I very meticulously and in a detailed way tried to express the accounts of what I saw here on the ground so you could understand the amazing things that happened with Jesus right here in our midst. I mean, this is Luke who, you know, you look at a medical doctor and you're like, my word, you talk about somebody who has massive impact. Somebody who never has to lay their pillow on their, you know, their head on their pillow at night and wonder if they made a difference today. And yet Luke's saying, yeah, that's where I provide for my family. I mean, that's what I do in my day job, but my role is way bigger than that. My role is to share the wondrous grace of God to help people come back to God. And when we participate in that kind of work, I tell you what, you begin to see the wondrous hand of God working in and through your life. Well, today we've got a whole bunch of people who are going to declare that they have experienced the wonderful grace of God through stepping into the waters of baptism here in just a few moments. It's going to be awesome. And baptism is one of the ways that we publicly declare that Jesus is our rescuer. He's our Savior and that we're with Him, that we began relationship with Him. And so when we go down in the water, it's almost a sense of like I'm dying to myself, to my ways, to my life. And when we come back up, it's a symbol of I'm being raised, a new creation. Jesus says the old is gone, the new is come. And so this is a symbol that I've experienced something new. In fact, Galatians 3:28 says, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. It means you have taken on the identity. This is a symbol. You've taken on the identity of Christ, and your life begins to bend to Him. What you do with your time bends to Him. What you do with your money bends to Him. I love how one person put it. They said, baptism is a decisive no to one's former way of life and an equally and emphatic yes to Jesus Christ. It's a move that speaks louder than words. And I tell you what, I don't know that there's a better weekend to get baptized than Thanksgiving weekend. I just really don't. I mean, this week when we're just saying, okay, God, what am I thankful for? And how do I go through this week with a heart of gratitude? For those stepping into the tub today, man, to think about what God has done on their behalf through Christ and to say, I'm publicly declaring Jesus, I'm with you. It's a very, very powerful thing. In fact, I want you to hear one person's story about the obsession that she's been chasing after of having more and more of God's presence in her life and how that's leading her to get into the tub of baptism this morning. So take a look at Lisa's story.
Before I came to Cross Point, I was raised Catholic. Went to Catholic school my entire life, from preschool through college. So God was always very much a part of my life, part of my family's life. But prior to coming to Cross Point, I had gone through just a really challenging many years of just feeling like I wasn't good enough, had a lot of personal struggles that I went through. I was divorced. Prior to our divorce, we went through fertility problems, lost a baby, went through adoption, which was amazing, and was blessed with a son. And then to have everything end in divorce was just very heartbreaking for me. But it was just something that I needed to do for myself. And so coming on the other side of that, my life started to change. God was who I turned to through all these struggles from my Catholic upbringing, but I just still felt like I needed more. I entered into a relationship with a wonderful man who was everything I hoped and dreamed for, and eventually we got engaged, and that's really what led me to Cross Point and led us to Cross Point. We wanted to find somewhere that could be a new beginning for us and a new start for us and for our family that we were going to start blending together. And so we got something in the mail about Easter at Cross Point, and I was particularly struggling that year because it was the first time I was spending it without my son. And we came and listened to the service, and Kurt talked about the heaviness and the chains and the burdens that we carry with us. And that just spoke so close to my heart and Kevin's heart. And as we sat there and watched Kurt on the stage, taking the chains off, really felt like, wow, this is where I need to be, and this is where I was called to be. I was baptized as a child, went through all the sacraments as a Catholic, but it really wasn't until I started coming here that I realized that, you know, I may have been in my mind doing all the right things. I was praying. I thought I was giving things to God. I thought I was putting this, you know, just faith in him, blind faith, if you will, but I really wasn't. I was still continuing to try to control many of the aspects in my life. I was still carrying heaviness and anger and resentment with me, and I just felt like I couldn't let that go as hard as I tried, and it wasn't until I came here that I really realized that I needed to completely give myself to God and give my heart to God and develop a different relationship. And that no matter what I had done or no matter what had happened in my past, I don't have to make up for that. I don't have to carry that with me. I don't have to feel like I'm worthless or I'm unworthy of God's love. And so I started to pray different. I started to have a different relationship with God, and that's really when things started to change for me. And one of the defining moments was last year here at Cross Point through the I Am series. That series really impacted me, and I decided that I was going to come by myself on a Thursday night. And I was going through a particularly difficult time with my ex-husband, and it was just weighing heavily on me. And I decided after service to wait and sit in my seat and have someone from the prayer team come and pray with me. And I was nervous because I had never prayed with people that I didn't know before, asked somebody to outright pray for me like that. But I felt like there was something that was almost like holding me down in my seat, like I couldn't get up. And so as I sat there, two members of the prayer team came and prayed with me, and I felt as if they knew my story without me telling them. They knew how I felt, and it was in that moment that I realized that God was working through these other people to provide me comfort and strength when I needed it the most. And I'll never forget, I walked out of here and sat in my car and just started crying tears of joy, because I knew that Jesus was in my heart and I was changing, and it was amazing. So my baptism means to me this weekend, really, it's the next chapter in my journey with God and building my relationship with God. You know, a year ago I had thought about doing it, and I was a little nervous and wasn't sure what that meant for me as being baptized as a Catholic, but now I know that really it's me taking the next step in my faith, in my relationship with the Lord, and just continuing on my journey. It's really the next step in my journey. And what it means, I don't know. I don't know what I'm called to do, but I feel like there's this tug in my heart of getting closer to God and helping others in some way and continuing to help build his kingdom. And what that looks like for me, I don't know, but I'm really excited.
Hey, let's thank Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. I love so many parts of her story, but the key thing is that she experienced Christ in a brand new way. And so she's stepping into the waters of baptism today to express that. In fact, let me tell you who this is for today, this whole baptism thing. If you've said yes in a relationship to Jesus at any point, whether it was last weekend or 30 years ago, and you've not stepped through the waters of baptism, then this is for you today. If you, kind of like Lisa's story, if you maybe as a child were christened or as a baby, you know, were had an infant baptism, but you've never personally chose, as a result of your faith, you're choosing to walk with Jesus, that you want to be baptized as a symbol of that decision, then the baptism waters are for you today. Or maybe you're here today and you don't really know why you're here, if you're honest. I mean, maybe church has never really been something on your radar, and you know, you once had a faith, and then you became an adult. That was a childlike faith, and your childlike faith didn't really translate into your adult life, and you just kind of checked out on it. Or maybe you're in visiting, you know, family from out of town today, and you didn't know they went to church, and they woke up and are like, hey, we're going to church, and here you are. You're drug along, or whatever the reason, I don't know. But here's what I want you to know. Whatever the reason, I don't believe that's a coincidence. I really don't. Maybe your heart was open to coming today for a reason. Maybe there's something going on in your heart and your life where, you know, you just feel like you're being stolen from. There's just a joy and a peace and, you know, that's being taken away from you. Your life, you feel the heaviness. And you're ready to begin to try a different direction. Maybe a direction that brings profuse life, profuse joy, profuse peace. I mean, maybe even today your heart's being strangely warmed. You're hearing some of these stories of a God who takes care of us and provides and shows up and champions the things that we do. Well, if you want to begin that relationship today, it can happen here. It can happen today. I'm going to give you a chance to respond in a few moments when we pray and receive Jesus for the first time if you want to do that. And I tell you what, Jesus says, believe and be baptized. He says, when you put the weight of your life into who Jesus is as a Savior, and you begin that relationship, he says, then be baptized as a symbol of that. I can't think of a better way, if you take that step today, better way to punctuate today than to step into the waters of baptism and publicly say, hey, I'm with Jesus and he's with me. So let's go ahead and stand, and some of you, you came prepared, you're ready to get into the baptism tub today. If that's you, you can go ahead and exit to the commons, and our team will help you get prepped, and if you're bringing somebody in the tub with you, just drag them along with you, have them come along with you to the back as you guys get ready. And others of us, you may not have come prepared today. All right, you may have thought, well, I'll do this another time. Maybe God's tugging on your heart and today's your day. And you know, you may not have prepared for this. We prepared for this. We've got a team in the commons ready to serve you. We've got, you know, shorts and towels and t-shirts and brand new undergarments, by the way. You're not using used ones, all right? These are brand new if you need to jump into some. So you can walk out in the same dry clothes you came in this morning in. But you can take the step into the waters of baptism if you've never taken that step since declaring Jesus as your Lord and Savior. All right, and here's the thing. If Jesus is an obsession that's worth following, all right, sometimes we're going to have to take steps. And there's something powerful that happens when we take a step out of the lane that we're in, when we do something that's maybe a little uncomfortable. All right, because this is a powerful symbol of us being connected with Christ. So a few logistics. When you step into the water today, I'm going to ask you one question. Somebody said the other day, I always wonder what you guys talk about in there. Well, first, I'm just excited. I'm like, man, I'm so excited you're stepping in here. But the one question I ask, I say, hey, who's your Savior? And if you can say Jesus, then the waters of baptism are for you. And I tell you what, when you come up out of that water, we're going to celebrate that. Are we not? Are we going to celebrate that this morning? Yes. One of my favorite moments. All right, so last couple details. We're doing something totally new this weekend. We've never really done this, but if you have somebody that's been a part of your story, a part of your journey, maybe to coming to Christ, maybe you're a student and that's a parent for you, or you're an adult and somebody invited you to Crossmore, or they've mentored you, invited you into their small group, and they've been a key part of your story, we want you to invite them into the waters with you. All right, we want them to help in your baptism. I'm going to be in there. They're going to be on the other side of you. We're going to baptize you together because they are a part of your story. They're a part of the kingdom work that God is doing in your life. And we're going to pray that you're going to have that kind of role in other people's lives down the road. So You can begin to move at any time if you didn't prepare, but you want to take this step today. Our team will help you in the commons. While I pray, you can move. We're going to sing a few songs. You can pray. You can move at any point during the rest of our service. We're going to be in the waters till the end. So let me pray for us before we dive into this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for what you're doing here among us in our lives, for people who are ready to take the step of baptism today. God, we just pray this is a powerful moment, one of those stake in the ground moments where they say, man, that day there was something different because I set myself aside. I said, God, I want to publicly declare I'm with you and you're with me. And God, if there's anyone still standing here right now that needs to take this step today, God, I just pray that you would help us to have the courage to step out and move even right now. Father, it's an affirming thing when we follow obediently the things you call us to. And Father, if there's any of us here this morning who are just being strangely warmed to your heart this morning, maybe we've never really been interested in a relationship with you, but for some reason we're open to it today. For some reason we're thinking, man, I've tried life my way and it's just not worked. Maybe I ought to look at what this whole Jesus thing is. And see, it's not my words that draw you to God. God draws us to himself. And you can begin that relationship today by just saying, yes, Jesus, I do believe you died to save me of my sins, and I want to receive that grace through what you did on the cross today. Or you can just simply say, yes, Jesus, I want that. I want to know that in my heart. I want to experience your fullness. And just know that in that moment, you are spiritually transformed. And God's Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, begins to fill your life and work in and through you and begin to show you what your next steps are. Doesn't mean you're going to walk perfectly, but God, I just pray your Spirit would come and you'd begin to show us how to grow and what steps to take to begin to follow you and attune our heart to yours and the things that your heart runs after. And so, Father, we just thank you that you're a God who constantly does whatever it takes to bring us back to you. And, Father, that you include us in what you're doing in the world. So we thank you. And we're getting ready to celebrate these baptisms, and we just do that together, God, in your name. Amen. All right, I'm going to get in the water. John's going to lead us, and we're just going to have a great close to the morning. If you still want to move, you're welcome to. If you're not getting baptized, man, let's celebrate all that happens up here. Let's do it.